Come on, lock. Okay, the microphone is now locked. And the stream is live. Okay, guys, we're going to air 5 minutes late, and I'm going to replay the thing I just played. And you guys are just going to deal with that for now.
We're on this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy. Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.
The Ochelli Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck Ochelli.
Took a little bit of doing, but December 9, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar, and we are live. So, boy, it's been a weird week on Ochelli.com. A lot of stuff not happening that should have happened. A lot of things going sideways. Chris Graves maybe has COVID. So does regular Joe. And, you know, I wish them both well. Chris said he lost his voice a couple of days ago. Haven't gotten an update on that, but he is in the chat room. Maybe we'll hear from him tonight one way or another. And it is the live Friday night call-in show, which, by the by, I accidentally released the wrong sound file onto the Friday show last week. And nobody told me about it for a couple of days. So, finally, Chris Graves wrote to me and said, you know, you put in... I recorded a part of a stream that I did with the guys at the New Prisoners podcast, and that was meant to be just put into the members section over here as a recording of that, and it ended up on the Friday shows. So I don't know if the Friday show is in the 2022 exclusives. Everything all screwed up this week. Aaron Franz never sent me his show notes from last Sunday, so we still haven't released The Age of Transitions and Uncle from Sunday. And then I was behind on Wednesday. This has just been a a comedy of delays and errors all week. Everybody doesn't feel well. Quite frankly, I'm exhausted and weak every single day, and I don't even want to talk about it. The good news, though, is after about 10 months of not having a bed, I got a bed. But anyway, does any of this make sense? Probably not, and it doesn't have to, because it's the Friday Night Call-In Show, and I've got a co-host, which means you're not going to hear too much more of this incoherent babbling from me tonight. Thank God BP is here. And you could be here, too.
Incoherent babbling from him.
Well, yeah, listen, your babbling will at least be different than mine. Oh, man. And somebody wrote to me a couple of weeks ago. I forgot to tell you this. I've gotten some weird stuff lately, and I haven't gotten a good death threat in a while, but I did get a series of you suck letters. And one of those letters is, you know why I suck really, really bad lately, BP? This one, there's a reason why I'm bringing it up to you. I mean, I'm not going to tell you about the complaints about my political persuasion, which, depending on who you are, you could think I'm some ultra insane lefty liberal, or you could think I'm some insane right wing nut job. Apparently, both things apply depending on your version of reality. But it could be that. It could be political. It could be something I said that triggers somebody or whatever. But what do you think the special thing I'm going to tell you about as to why I suck this week is?
God, no. There's no telling.
No telling. All right. I love this one.
In today's climate, it's not even a climate. It's like a fog that has taken over the United States. People have gone absolutely nuts.
Yes, but
gone nuts. It's gotten worse and worse, and it's so much more noticeable now. Some people had the good, the good taste in the past to kind of hide their nuttiness. Now, no, they just let that nut flag fly. And it's really getting irritating, I have to say.
I gotta agree with you there. There used to be this tendency to be like, look, I know I'm a little bit bent or broken in the mind, and maybe I should keep quiet. A lot of people would think that and go, I'm only going to really let, I guess the freak flag flying thing is still a thing, right? I'm only going to let my freak flag fly in certain places. Maybe I go to a special bar, or I belong to a club, or I've got a certain group of friends that we get together in a basement, right? And there I can be crazy. But everywhere else, I want to try and keep it tamped down. Yeah.
You think about it in the past when someone says, let your freak flag fly, it was a different thing. It was a thing of freedom and expression and art and music and, culture. And now it's a schizophrenic, how do you combine schizophrenic and hypocrite and hypophrenic? They're just so, they turn on a dime.
Schizo-hypocritical?
They can be going in one direction and saying one thing and thinking one thing, and then all of a sudden they just blast out this wackadoodle crap.
How about this? Schizo-hypochronical.
Yeah, that'll work.
All right, so schizo-hypocrite, but I agree, and you know what? I used to know people that would let that freak flag fly at music shows, right? Like, you knew people that were totally normal, and they seemed to be, your neighbor, your friend, or, the girl that, I don't know, you kind of knew or whatever, maybe even dated her, and you thought to yourself, she's kind of boring and this and that, and then you'd see her at, a music festival or... Yeah. A free concert that would go on, I've told the story about WNEW Day on the beach in Asbury Park, where, 10,000-20,000 people would pour onto the beach, and it really didn't matter. There were live bands and there was stuff, and it was to promote the radio station and all that. And WNEW is a major thing in the New York market, but also kind of nationally known as like a haven of rock and roll and so on. And you'd
see.
They're still in operation. But I don't know, what kind of role they play at this point. But the thing is, in the 80s and 90s, they were still living off of the legend that they had built up in the 60s and 70s, right?
Rock stations did that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
And the classic rock format was the thing, too. So, classic rock basically was, we're not really going to play new music unless it's new music released by old artists. And, okay, so once during warm weather, they would do this thing on the beach, and you'd see people from all walks of life show up there, and next thing you know is, some people are diving into the ocean naked, everybody's drunk, even though there's not supposed to be beer on the beach, And you go, all right, this is the day that even the straight-laced come out and, smoke too much weed and run around and take off too many clothes and hook up with people under the boardwalk, and you go, okay, well, that's all right. And then they'll go back to work or whatever after the weekend and, hangover or whatever, screw it. It is what it is. Anyway, now you don't need alcohol. Now you don't need a concert. Now you don't need a get-together, a gathering, or a special place to even go. It seems as though not only should you let your freak flag fly wherever you feel it, but how dare anybody say anything if you don't? And it's gotten so weird. Now, I don't even know what to make of most people. But anyway.
They're different. You know, back in our day, back in the heyday.
Back in my day. You know, here we go.
Freaks. Now, freaks are really freaky. I mean, they're sideshow type. Used to, a freak, you know, you go to the go to a music festival, for instance, you say, okay, go over here to Stonington Stables, Double Barrel Jam, Molly Hatchet, Blackfoot, and all these bands that at that time were hitting it big are playing, and it's just a whodunit. I don't know. How do you explain that? Just this menagerie of people that show up.
Well, and
like country music and like rock music and like this. And the freaks, you know, had the flag flying and the hair flowing and the beer bong out and the wine skin. And freaks were freaks, but now they've turned into sideshow freaks. Well, they're scary.
Well, the sideshow freaks weren't good enough. I remember when they actually had sideshow freaks at the Ozfest, right? And it was like, okay, cool. But gone are now the days where it's even weird where people would stop and say, let me take a picture with you. And this isn't, you know, selfies with a phone, but, you know, actual cameras. Let me take a picture with you because they have 80,000 piercings and, you know, a woman who's actually tattooed head to toe and on her face and everything, right?
Today's the mental one. It's an ideologue. An ideology that they want to impart on everybody. I mean, it's getting more totalitarian and more of it's being exposed now. And it's a good thing. Maybe people will start waking up to what this government's been doing to them under the guise of democratic rule.
Right. So anyway, two weird things though, that pertain to you from this week from contacts. First of all, it took a few days before anybody complained that I didn't put up the Friday show, that I mistakenly put up the wrong show.
But you never told us it sucked.
Why I suck. Right. I forgot. Well, you know what? I get lost on that because I'm almost bored with it at this point with the different ways that I'm a bad guy, you know, for one reason or another. Sometimes I have to ask myself what show they're listening to, but, the reason why the strange one this week, I mean, you know, I got the usual, your politics, this and that, you know, you're a sheeple, you're a follower, you don't understand that you got to be on our side and you're not. And I don't know why these people listen to the show, but they do. And welcome to it. If you're listening there just to get your hate time in, I mean, what can I say? Good. Directed at me. It's fine. But, you know, and it all counts, by the way, in the numbers. So I see you downloaded the show. Thanks. If you want to sit there and aggravate yourself for 2 hours, good. The funny thing was that I actually got, and I don't usually, the only reason why I took notice of this at all is because, I don't get too many, emails from women anymore. And, I really feel as though I've got about five women listeners, five people that would identify themselves as female, who probably listen to the show anymore. This came from a female listener, allegedly, who was complaining that I don't let you talk enough, BP. So, I thought that was strange. I know I'm mouthy and I run my mouth for no reason sometimes, but the reason why she was complaining is she said every time somebody calls in and starts on a JFK thing, like I'll just talk for 30 minutes and you don't say a word. And I don't let you talk.
And you know why a lot of that happens is because I can't, there's nothing I could really add to it that you don't already know nine ways from Sunday. You know, I mean, we talk about the photographic part of it. Yeah, I'm more up into that because that's my area of being involved with JFK, but you're like, you know, cracking open an encyclopedia, all the aspects of it that you're familiar with and know. So, I just sat back and let the champ tell us what the hell's going on. I learned.
But that's what I do with you with certain things too, where it's just like, okay, I don't know anything about this. Go ahead, BP. Because, like,
I have learned more from hanging out with you than I have spent in all those hours, in all those forums, education forum. I have read that thing. God, I hate to think how many hours COVID got filled by the education forum and just going through all those old threads of all subjects. You know, it brought back a lot of stuff. And there's so much stuff out there on it.
Well, it gave people a lot of time. Yeah, it gave people a lot of time on their hands to be sitting at home going, well, look, I've already watched all the TV series I've been meaning to catch up on.
For America and for people who were around back then that are still alive, it's the greatest American mystery.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, there's no doubt that no matter what kind of media outlet you are, if you put out something about this, you're going to get some attention. I mean, it's a guaranteed draw because there's still interest. And even people that are interested in it seemingly for the wrong reasons are always going to have some interest in it, right? So anyway, this was really weird though, because I'm terrible because I don't let you talk enough. So I'm going to make more of an effort. I just want you to know.
Well, see, that's just it. It comes to women a lot of times. If I talk much longer, I'd probably piss them off.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm very passionate in a lot of my thinking, so, you know. It doesn't go well with some women, especially some of these new political.
People that aren't familiar. Yeah. And people that aren't familiar that come into here with it, like an idea about who I'm supposed to be or who who is supposed to be on the network and all that. It's very confusing because they don't quite understand that, I'm not.
You think about when we first started doing this, how many people thought one thing about my political views and then got their eyes opened.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They thought I was on. Bible thumping conservative that, here, Republican Party all the way. Yay. I think I changed a few people's minds, but you have to in today's age. I mean, because basically both parties suck.
Right. Right. Which, brings up some of the interesting news and stuff from the week, which we will get to, but we want to get to your calls out there. And I don't think I gave out the number yet. Did I? No.
Not yet. That's one thing, when they come in, I mean, some topics we can throw around is this, Brittany Griner made it home.
Right.
In her famous prison swap. And, let's see, what else went on this week? Oh, we've got a strange aspect of that story too about there's two different stories out there, which also ties into the old, Paul Pelosi attack. Some stuff I've read here lately.
Oh, okay. That's new to me.
Yeah, we can discuss it down the road.
Well, Paul Pelosi made an appearance at the Kennedy Center honors, apparently, his first public appearance since the alleged attack and whatever went on there, which, clearly there was an event. I'm not one of these people saying that it's a staged event, but, I'm usually not that guy. Just saying.
So, all due respect to Paul Pelosi, I'm glad that he's better. And that he's able to get over being attacked like that. There's a call for something like that. I mean, the guy was hurt pretty bad. I mean, you crack skulls, crack skull.
Yeah, right. I mean, you go beating somebody with a hammer. I mean, it's, So anyway, Well, all right. So anyway, and Pelosi, of course, Nancy, that is stepping down and all that. And of course, there's going to be a change of the guard there. We had the selection, the runoff here in Georgia. We could talk about that.
Yeah.
We could also talk about the press conference this week, which occurred. I know this is a JFK topic, and that this will start some people off. We did discuss it on the show, by the way, past couple of shows.
Which I wanted to add.
Yeah.
I saw a link on YouTube to the where they had posted it.
Right.
Yeah. In addition to the link that you sent.
Well, right. Did I send you the Mary Farrell page? Because they were the ones who actually paid. You got to pay to go to the National Press Club and take up their space and do stuff. So, they were the ones that actually sponsored it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So.
But the video, but there is a YouTube video out there for anybody that wants to go and find it. In fact, I'll get a link to it. We throw it in a room.
Yeah, let's do that. I know I have it around somewhere, but if you got it handy, you probably do it faster than me. So that happened this week. What else happened? Well, let's see. There is the various goings on in Ukraine, which, look, I don't even know what to say at this point, but a lot of jockeying for position there politically. Of course, you have Kristen Sinema now, declaring herself as an independent. There was a bit of, oh wow, shock and awe there. Regarding that in, the mainstream over the past 24 hours. So, I mean, there's all this going on. Plus that horrible situation, with the FedEx driver who snatched a little girl. Look, there's actually a lot of news to cover. I don't know what's on people's minds, but let's find out. The number to call in is 319-527-5016. We'll try to monitor the chat room at Ocelli.com as well, and do this at least until a little bit after 10 p.m. Eastern, and see what we get. Also, I have it on fair authority that Mrs. O may take the time to call in tonight. She's in a kind of an interesting mood. I could talk about a personal situation there where, again, I'm thoroughly unhappy with anything, when anyone I know deals with a bank. But anyway, you know, I don't have a bank account. Okay. I don't. I have PayPal. That's it. That's all I use for anything. And it's unfortunate because, it has limited my options and I don't sign up for every stupid card there is and, you know, the Chime app and Dave and God knows whatever else is out there. The various online banking facilities. People have tried to encourage me to do this, but I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it. I'm just sick and tired of the electronic conventions on all of this. And, with good reason, I think. But, anyway, maybe we'll just talk about that a little bit. And, the horror that is the week that was. I did not get to do Christy Aphrodite's show on Tuesday. I was passed out at my desk and, apparently not responsive when Mrs. O tried to get me up. And I think Christy had a problem too. So no Tuesday show. I did a show on Wednesday. Still not out yet, but, it was, Don Jeffries and J.G. Michael. Interesting discussion there. Mike Swanson and Larry Hancock. And we gave a full update on the press conference on Thursday. So I'm going to put all this stuff out tomorrow. And hopefully, I'll be able to, get the Friday night show out under its proper label this week. Cause nobody told me. It's weird. A massive drop off, actually, in the people downloading the Friday night show afterwards. I think we need to, encourage people to call in and participate because I'm betting that's what the problem is. I mean, Jimmy James calls in and I love him. I appreciate him, but, you know, he can't cover every hour, guys. You want to hear interactions? You want to hear different things introduced into the mix? Do it. So you don't call in. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm going to keep doing this because it's enjoyable. And frankly, I could just sit here and talk to BP anyway. Right? So it doesn't actually matter to me, but it seems as though it's less interesting to the average listener if we have less calls. I'm starting to make that correlation. Anyway, 319-527-5016. I think it used to help that Aaron was on Fridays. Oh, again, I didn't release Aaron's show from Sunday because he never sent me his show notes. And I don't know what's going on there. A bunch of people are apparently sick in the eastern part of the U.S. Another news story is that apparently, I didn't see the name of the new strain of flu, but there's some new strain of flu on top of, you know, the C word. On top of that, on top of the dreaded pandemic, there's some harsh flu out there too. So I don't know. I'm not sick, but and you know, I almost feel bad saying it because it'll probably happen now. Anyway, there's that. There's a bunch of weird things going on. You know, how's your holiday season going? Oh, inflation is still eating us all alive. Bad numbers coming out about that recently, about the, rate of costs for manufacturers. Did you see that story, BP?
Yeah, that came out just the other day.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday morning, I think?
I think it was yesterday morning. You see, this stuff is starting to blur together to me too, you know? And of course
because it's been the same old fucking things for so long.
Right. Right. And frankly, I felt like I was hearing about Brittany Griner for a year too, which is very weird. And frankly, again, evokes a lot of problems here, especially when you're looking at Whelan and what's going on with him and what kind of deals are being made. Oh, and by the by, allegedly Vladimir Putin fell down the steps and soiled himself this week. Did I read that right? I mean.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah.
Something about him on his clean himself.
Yeah, something about he soiled himself falling down a flight of steps. I don't know. I don't know. It's so weird anymore that like I don't really get alarmed, excited, or even it's like, oh, yawn. You know, weird things happen and I just kind of go, okay. Anyways, And like I said, we could talk about how the Biden administration is very quickly approaching a deadline, and they do have a internal discussion going on right now, apparently, about whether they're going to release the JFK documents or not. You know, if they're going to do the full release and actually follow through, and other enforcement mechanisms being followed through on with the Records Collection Act. So, I mean, there's stuff to talk about. And, Christian Cinema, yeah, I already brought that up. All right. Anyways, I don't know, BP. I'm going to...
Hey, I wonder if Joe...
Yeah, go ahead.
I wonder if Joe Manchin's going to do the same.
Well, does he have to, though? He's already staked out his position, right?
All right, let me ask you this. All right, Christian Cinema goes independent, but she caucuses with the Democrats. But does that change the fact that when it was 51-49, and now it's 51-49, does that change the Democrats' ability when they form a committee to have one more member because of the majority?
Well, see, here's the problem with the false numbers to begin with, is that there's what, now four independents in the Senate? If you count Sinema?
Well, is Bernie Sanders independent?
Bernie Sanders is usually listed with an I, right? So he's an independent. Angus King, yeah. Right, is an independent. Angus King is his name.
So,
right?
Okay, so... Before, well, then how was it ever 50-50 during the last Senate?
Yeah,
because regardless of who they caucus with,
right?
Why do they get counted as Democratic positions when they're actually independent?
Well, see, that's the question I kept asking people, and nobody wanted to answer it because it was like, well, they caucus with the Democrats, so that's that. It's like, no, it's that's not.
When caucusing, which is one thing, and voting with a majority...
Yeah.
You see, that's the part I don't get. Why do they get to, I mean, I know they have a, well, what would it be? Not a majority. They would have a plurality. No, not a, what would it be?
Well, they do have, okay, not an overall majority, but they would have superior numbers in comparison, I guess. See, if you subtract out those independents, I'm thinking you've got more staunch Republicans than you do staunch Democrats. Why is this, you know, I don't know. They said, and officially so far, they've said, well, look, this isn't going to change any committee assignments when it comes to Sinema's change.
Yeah. And that makes me wonder about the number on committees, because during the last Senate, the Democrats ran them. They could control who was on them. That's why this January 6th hearing has got what? Two rhinos on it. Liz Cheney and, one other one. I mean, so, but if you don't have an act, just like in Georgia, to win the election, you have to have 51%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they didn't have 51%. That's why they had this runoff, because Herschel only got so much and Warnock only got so much. And the other guy that was on there took, what, 2-3%? So it kind of screwed it up for both of them?
That was it. The Libertarian candidate actually scored one of the higher, yeah.
If these people are independent, why would the Democrats get to run something if they do not have 51%, a majority? They only have, well, if, what, there's four independents and they're all Democrats?
See, that's the question I keep asking. Because,
yeah. They have 49.
Well, but that's the thing, is I don't think you end up with even 49 if you remove the independents from the equation entirely. I mean, clearly you could count Sanders as a Democrat, even though he's saying he's an independent, and then any time he tries to run for president, he runs on the Democratic ticket, right? So, I don't know. It's like he's a part-time Democrat, and some of these other guys, I guess, are part-time Democrats, but they don't declare it. Now, I know why Sinema did what she did. It's to avoid being primaried, because they apparently have a guy ready to go to knock her out because she's been uncooperative with the Democrats. So the DNC has this.
Oh yeah, there she's marked.
Yeah, I forget the guy's name, but they got a specific candidate in mind who is Gallego. That's it. Gallego, who's a House of Representatives member, who is a former Marine, right, or a former Navy guy, one or the other. And, I believe he served in combat, maybe. But also he's one of those more, classic kind of Democrats, not fully liberal, but progressive enough that, like, he doesn't upset either side of the extremes too badly. Right. And he would be a guy who would definitely, even though Sinema, for the most part, voted with Biden's agenda, outside of what the thing to get rid of the filibuster. Right. So, I mean, outside of that, she pretty much went in line with it. But now if she's an independent candidate, she doesn't get knocked off the ballot by not having the Democratic access. Now, I don't know what that means or if she's going to literally. And that was the other thing, is these people have amnesia in the mainstream media. Oh, well, nobody just switches parties like this. And then they were saying stupid things like, if you switch, it's, you know, it's pretty extreme. You never go back. Nobody ever does that. And I went, you guys forget who Arlen Specter was, huh?
Exactly.
Because Arlen Specter, if I remember correctly, started out as a Democrat, right?
Yeah.
And then went Republican when it was advantageous to him politically, and then went back to Democrat later and continued to do this and continued to go to Congress, continued to be a senator. But he kept switching parties based on different things that were going on.
Oh, yeah.
And he went back and forth, that guy. And that's not too far in the past. I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm asking you to figure out something from you know, the time when Rutherford B. Hayes was president, okay? This is not that long ago. A guy who was switching parties. So it happens. And like I said, the weird thing with Sanders is that, yeah, if he's, you know, trying to do his thing in Congress, he says he's an independent, pretty much votes with the Democrats, but also bitches about them because they're not, you know, moving far enough along with the leftist ideals. But when it's time to run and when it's time when he needs money, he's going to go to the DNC, right? He's going to go with the Democratic banner when it's time to run for president. So,
Wait a minute, though. When he was running, was he getting any help from the DNC at all? Or did they just throw all their money towards Hillary?
Well, I think if you run as a Democrat and you're accepted in to a certain degree, like they have to give you some funding. So I know they had to fund him to some degree. He might have not taken as, you know, he definitely didn't get the support Hillary did, obviously. But
see, the thing was, when Hillary took over after, you know, when they were counting super delegates and things like that before the actual convention.
Right.
At that time, Hillary was the head of the party. Well, Donna Brazile, I think, was actually leading the party. But she took it over and Hillary had control of the funds somehow in the way that it was set up.
Mm-hmm.
So Hillary controlled what money got kicked out to certain people, even before she won at the convention, which ticked a lot of people off.
Well, I think in the early stages, Sanders got funding. And then, you know, when it looked like he was an actual threat to her, like they were willing to let him run so long as it was like, all right, you know, keep the little socialist wing of the party busy. And then when it's time, tell them to, you know, turn over your endorsement, Senator Sanders, to Senator Clinton, right? Typical business, which is really, quite frankly, what the Republicans do quite well when it's like, look, I don't care what just happened. I don't care how I was insulted. I'm going to get behind my party's candidate. They do that unflinchingly on the GOP side of the equation. And the Democrats are supposed to do that, but you know, they love forming circular firing squads. They just do it. They will sabotage themselves before anybody else needs to do it. So it's interesting to me though that, that this whole thing with Sinema, it's like, well, big deal. Who cares? But again, it leaves a weird open question because it's like, look, if these people are technically declaring themselves with an I instead of a D or an R, then how are you telling me that the Democrats have a majority? Because again, if you got King, Sinema, Sanders, all technically not Democrats, okay, just three of them, then why are they being counted? Oh, they caucus with the Democrats. Okay. But like you said, it's not the same thing. So I don't know. I don't know. You know, would it work the other way? Could you make an argument? And Manchin, I mean, as much as I get, okay, well, it's a West Virginia Democrat and you got to understand. Yeah. But the truth is, he's a very conservative Democrat. He does not really represent the party I mean, why couldn't you just make an argument that you could count him on the Republican side? Oh, because a lot of the time he votes with the Democrats. I mean, there's a guy who should have an I in front of his name. I don't know. Maybe it's just my way of looking at it, but here we are, and there's that going on. I don't know how interesting that is, but we do have one caller, and again, I want to remind people, 319-527-5016. Call in, be a part of the discussion. We'll probably take two breaks during this show, but yeah, should we get to the caller first, or do you want to get into the Griner thing next? Should we go to a break first before we take the call? What do you want to do?
Well, it's up to you. I'm wide open. Whatever you want to do.
All right. Well,
the choices.
I appreciate it, but you know what? I'm looking at the time. We made this caller wait about 7 minutes while you and I were batting this thing back and forth. So I don't want people to wait too terribly long. Of course, if you call in, you get a little announcement, and then you should be able to hear the show as we're airing it. But if not, you know, I don't know what's going on. Who knows? And I did bounce my payment to the company that handles that, but they've given me the 2-day grace period. So if I can pay that in the next couple of days, we'll keep the phone lines. And if not, I'll just have to figure it out by next week, huh? Or actually by Sunday, because Aaron might do his show. Oh no, wait, Aaron's not doing his show this week. Oh, I don't have to take calls this week. I have a little bit of time, so I got to figure out how to pay it by next week. Anyway, in the meantime, let's go to the first caller, and then we'll go to the break after we let him break the ice.
All right.
And we all know who this is, and I'm so appreciative that you do consistently call in, sir. How you doing, Jimmy James?
Melancholy.
Melancholy. Almost like you and I are hanging out together, Jimmy James, because that's where I've been lately, is melancholy. Melancholy's a good descriptor. But anyway, what's on your mind? Are you interested in what B. Pete and I were just batting around, or you got something else on your mind?
I already blipped out what you were talking about. What were you talking about?
No problem. We were talking about Christian cinema and declaring herself an independent and...
Caucusing.
That's
a thing.
Why do the independents get counted with the Democratic majority, though? That seems wrong
because
to me.
They choose to caucus with the Democrats. They got three choices. They could caucus with the Republicans, they could caucus with the Democrats, or they could choose to not caucus with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
They choose to caucus with the Democrats.
Hmm. So, all right, I guess, but I don't know. It just seems weird to me that you would say that that's, you know, this idea that they control the Senate. It just, okay, because they caucus with them, but they're not really part of that party. So, I mean, technically speaking, if there were 20 independents and they all caucused with the Democrats, they would still count them on the Democratic side.
That's correct.
Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't make perfect sense to me, but I mean, I can see the logic, I guess, but it just seems to me strange, you know? You should count that independent of the independents.
It's mostly based on parliamentary rules that have been around forever.
Mm. Yeah, well, I kind of wish we had a parliamentary setup instead of the Senate, but okay. Anyways, what are you going to do?
I agree with you. I think we all let whoever's running as independent get together and assign seats based on parties and let it be a 49, 46, and 4, you know, and let them duke it out. That way they have to form a coalition to get a majority on something. Make them work together at least.
Work together. I'd rather that they get rid of all political parties, and then all 100 of these numbskulls would have to start thinking for themselves. God forbid.
Yeah, that would be a tough job, though, Jimmy James. You know, thinking for yourself. I mean, you're asking a lot of any American, aren't you, anymore?
Pretty much.
Mm. So, anyways, I'm sure you have something better on your mind. Maybe you want to comment on the Brittany Griner situation. What did you think of that, or have you been following that story?
Oh, I'm very aware of it. Well, it's pretty clear what's going on here. Okay, so he bans Whalen and another Marine and gives them the most prolific arms dealer who, if you want to pretend that people who sell arms are responsible for deaths, well, then there's a guy that's responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they loved Africans. What's up with that?
Yeah, well.
And yet they traded this dude for a black chick who has no significance as far as, well, she has no significance.
I hear you, and they, you know, what is she? She's a forward, right, for Phoenix, I think. I don't know. Look, I'm not a sports guy to begin with, but I, the WNBA is still not even a successful league, I think. You know what I mean? It's, come on, what are we doing here? Except that this was to score political points, which is funny because, all right, I was talking to Larry Hancock, and I actually would love to get both of your viewpoints on this, you and BP's viewpoints. And let's think objectively for a minute. Nobody on this call right now is a big fan of Joe Biden, but wouldn't you think that given that there is a lot of intrigue surrounding exactly how things are being done in secret and what Biden's associations with, you know, say the dark forces out there that are in control, etc., the allegations, the QAnons, all of the weird stuff. Wouldn't it be quite a counterpunch if Biden just really did follow through with this December 15th deadline and drop the JFK documents and say, listen, I did what the Trump administration refused to do. Actually, you know, followed through, tried to get, and even could cause the National Archives to start doing more of its job regarding collections and all this stuff, to be more transparent, at least about the Kennedy assassination. I mean, wouldn't that be an interesting counterpunch to throw into the, conspiracy culture at the moment if he, did it? But of course he kicked the can down the road, you know, in 2021. And now he's approaching this this deadline, and there is a memo and an order out there in general without a lot of specifics attached to it that we're supposed to see a drop less than a week from now of all this stuff that wasn't released in 2017. So what do you think about that as a little bit of a, you know, he's clearly scoring political points with certain parties when it comes to making sure the higher profile prisoner was released, even though I thought it really sucked. Because Whelan, you know, CNN anyway, somehow got in contact with Whelan in prison, and Whelan was under the impression that he was about to go home. And last minute they told him, yeah, no, you ain't going nowhere, which was kind of a cruel thing, and I think his family graciously was like, look, we're happy for Brittany Griner and her family and any American that gets to go home, but I don't know. The whole thing kind of sucks. I really think it's really bad. But he's scoring political points with certain parties. Wouldn't it be an interesting counterpunch
See,
to that?
I don't even know. Hold on there. See, that's the easy answer.
Okay.
But what if he'd have just given the Lord of War to Russia, which he might as well have? Then what would you think he's doing, Chuck?
No, I'm sorry. I don't understand the question. What'd you say?
Well, you said he's doing it to score political points because she's black, gay, and all the favorite causes of the left right now.
Right.
I said, well, that's an assumption. What if you're assuming that? What if he'd have just plain given the Lord of War to Russia without the black chick basketball player? Then what would your assumption have been? And he might as well have.
Well, I don't know.
What would you think? Why would he do that if he did do that?
Yeah, that would be a very confusing thing to me because the fact is he gave up a higher value prisoner for Brittany Griner already. I don't understand the balance there. And now, by the way, they're floating this idea that this other guy who allegedly assassinated somebody in Germany, a straight up assassin, they want to trade for Whelan, which again seems like another lopsided trade. I mean, I know that this is Putin scoring points with his own people, but and clearly. He got the better end of the deal there between Griner and this, Victor whatever. But, you know, this idea that maybe let's trade Whelan for a guy who straight up is an assassin is, it's bizarre. But I want to know what you guys think about the idea though that he could score a different level of political points and kind of confuse the people that think that he's involved in a lot of these, you know, deep state kind of, shenanigans. If he sort of, you know, goes against the requests of the FBI, the CIA, and the other government agencies that have pretty much been resistant and goes the other way and starts going toward transparency with the JFK stuff. He has that opportunity at the moment. And I know that that's actually part of the discussion, according to sources that are in the administration, that is going on right now. Like, would this be the thing that would, you know, there's always a political calculus attached to this stuff. I don't know what to make of this Brittany Griner thing because, again, I see the surface points, like you said, but I wouldn't, it wouldn't make sense to hand this guy back over, otherwise, you know, to me, unless you're going to go and assume that he wanted to hand over this guy to, I don't know. Make it appear as though, okay, now I've given them back somebody who's extremely dangerous. I mean, I doubt any of his connections as an arms dealer are even valid at this point. He's been in prison a while. I don't think he's going to be an active asset hitting the ground running, but I don't know.
He's got $32 billion, and he's only been off the streets for like 10 years. My thought is, well, I see what I see. Okay. What was the other thing you guys were talking about? There was something else.
Well, I'm curious. BP, if you want to address that, because I'd love to know what you think about the idea of you could score a different kind of political points in conspiracy culture.
I was just going to say that there's no chance that Biden's going to release a single file that the CIA, the FBI, the IRS, or the Postal Service, or anyone doesn't want him to release because he is totally and completely criminally compromised and they've got the goods on him, and I would bet the bank on it.
Well, what if he does release this stuff because he has issued a memo stating that he wants it done, but as far as taking action, that's a different story, so... What if he does release this stuff?
I don't think Biden will do it this term. If he runs and gets reelected, he might. But I think he's going to find a way to weasel out of having to do it.
Right. Okay.
National security or something. You know, they'll blame it on some reason. But I'd love to see it released. But I think anything that's worth reading has already been vacuumed away years ago.
Well, there is that, but every time we get one of these releases, we seem to discover some other things in there that might be, you know, problematic.
It could lead to something else, but I, on the whole thing, I think overall, anybody who could be held legally culpable is either dead or protected far enough that they're not worried about it. They got away with it. They got away with murder.
Now,
daylight.
I do agree there that you know we're not going to be holding anybody accountable. There's going to be no trial, regardless of whatever comes out or is seen or not seen. But
look at it this way: look at the stuff that we've seen the FBI do. Just say in the past 5 years, mm-hmm. 6 years, all of these cases, all of these terrorist cases that they're going to prosecute, and we come to find out that the FBI is sitting there facilitating the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the ATF and Fast and Furious. They go and do this stuff. No one's ever held accountable. And we have really seen just in the past month, well, just since Twitter's been taken over by Musk, just how damn corrupt our FBI is.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, they need, that's what they need to dismantle, the old Secret Service. Let's start with the FBI. and then let them go after the CIA.
Mm.
Serve as everybody else.
Fair enough. You know? What's your thoughts, Jimmy James?
I didn't rid the FBI.
Well, just the whole thing that BP said. I mean, you could focus on that if you like, but whatever it is you want to go at.
I agree with a lot of what BP said.
Hmm. Fair enough. I just think it's an interesting opportunity, though, to change the narrative, because if he drops a whole bunch of this stuff out there, despite the fact that the agencies don't want it released and have clearly made statements they don't want it released, and if he starts making the National Archives actually do their job and continue on with collections, that could be interesting, because it would actually lend itself more to the idea of transparency, which is something that most people would not say the Biden administration is actively looking to do. So it would be a contradiction, an interesting one. And I get it, you know, maybe it would be next term, but then again, this could be the kind of thing that could win him some friends for that next term. I don't know. 2024 is going to be a weird year, and please, 2023 is already going to be something to survive. Tell you what, we're going to take a break here, and you guys can call in, you the listener out there, if you're hearing us live on the 9th day of December. That's what it is, right? The 9th day of December, 2022, allegedly. Just a little bit before 9 p.m. Eastern, we are live on Ocelli.com. You can call in 319-527-5016. That's the number. You can reach out to me, Charles.Ocelli, on Skype. I'll join you into the call if you ask me to. But otherwise, 319-527-5016. We've heard from Jimmy James, and I'd love to hear from whoever you are out there listening. And you can always change the subject when you come on. New caller gets priority. Stick around. The Ocelli Effect, the Friday night open mic, continues after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com. Perhaps you're invested deeply. Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to Larry-Hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at Amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Chili.com.
There's no money in it, so
yeah, that's the
problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too. And look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain, okay? Because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly,
so if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show, and I want you to do this too, because you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, you know, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com. Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War
Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia by author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, Nuclear Bombs and Nation Building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War by author Mike Swanson.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
By callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
We are absolutely not responsible for any stupidity that might ensue, but hopefully it doesn't ensue here on the Friday night open mic, and so far it has not. We have Jimmy James has called in. I have my co-host B. Pete with me. And you listening there, you could join us, 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016. And we got about an hour left because I started about 5 minutes late, so I'll go 5 minutes over tonight. I'm so damned exhausted, though. I got to tell you, I've just been so tired, been through a couple of different things lately, and just, I don't know. And I'm just glad I'm going to be able to sleep on a bed tonight again. But outside of that, I don't know what to say. Again, I'm still not quite myself and all. Trying to have coherent conversations, and we will have podcasts released very shortly. I got three in the chamber right now. Plus, this one will be sitting there, too. So over the weekend, you're going to get a bunch of podcasts out through the network, and we'll see if Chris Graves gets his voice back enough to do his show on Sunday. I think we don't have Aaron this week, but we do have him next week, so a lot of goings on here. Anyways, B. Pete, I want to kind of turn it over to you, man. I mean, do you want to talk about, I mentioned it in the break, because it's local to you, or at least somewhat local to you, the attack on the power grid in North Carolina, or should we just skip over it?
No, we can discuss that. I mean, that's an ongoing investigation. For anybody that hasn't seen the headlines, it made national news. Two substations were taken out by rifle fire, and it affected most of a county. Put 40,000 people without power for 4 days.
Mm.
And the thing that they found out when they started the investigation is apparently the piece in this substation, and most everybody knows what one of these things looks like, but there's certain parts in there that are specifically made by hand. They're milled to certain tolerances, and it's very expensive and it's very time consuming to make these things. And that was the very things that these people aimed at and shot. Took out the whole substation. Well, apparently you take out two, you can put 40,000 people in darkness, you know, within seconds. So they've got power back up. I mean, they worked around the clock to do what they could, and they did get power back up in 4 days. Everybody's got their power back. But the FBI is investigating it now.
Right.
And I heard on the news a report where they've already started pulling phone records, camera records, anything that they can find to start eliminating people that were in the area at the time. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes, but it's just an example of just how susceptible our basic power grid is in, you know, anywhere USA, this could have happened.
Right.
But they say that the person that did it knew exactly what they were doing to shoot that specific part because they knew it would take out the system.
Seems to me like you have to know what you're doing to pull this off. And I like, you know, if you just showed it to me visually, I would not be able to tell you exactly what to do. Not something I ever focused on. I found it funny though, these, you know, people on the MSN for the past 3 years or so, extremist groups. And I'm like, 3 years, more like 20, 30, because, you know, and at least 10.
So yeah, we're looking at 30 years.
I mean, remember, we were supposedly told that there were these massive networks of white supremacist groups and stuff in the 90s. And look, it's not all fictitious. There is some reality to it. They focused on it a lot because of Timothy McVeigh and on and on and yada yada. And look, we could have our views on that, but you can't say that these groups didn't exist and they didn't have these kinds of discussions. You know, they did, but nobody seemed to take the initiative to act. And this is kind of an interesting thing that this is happening now. I almost wonder if this was a test to see what would happen. I mean, because if you think about it, sure, Duke Energy is a large company. They've got a lot of assets. It still took them days. If you turned around and you did this, you know, to a region and punched out a couple of these in a certain sequence, I bet you you could really put a huge region of the country out in the dark without a problem. I mean, I know it almost seems superficial to discuss this when, you know, in Ukraine, massive parts of their power grid are being taken down by these missile strikes. You know, but you don't even require cruise missiles to get this damage done. These guys did this with rifles, by the by.
Yeah, so, I mean, you take 30-06 and, you know, knock power out for 40,000.
Yeah, I mean, that's that is way too much leverage with a with a relatively small weapon. I mean, you know. Anyway, that's my thoughts on it. But Jimmy James, you got any thoughts on this?
I think we should quit having grids, and every community should have their own power supply. Would be the wisest move forward. I remember the military outfit I was with. They just quit going to Antarctica a couple years before I joined up. And they got generators down there that aren't much bigger than normal generators. One of them could run New York City for 100 years. So if you put one of these in, you know, one a county, there you go. And if one of these things went up, it wouldn't be a complete environmental disaster like all the Chernobyl and all that. Know what I'm saying?
Well, what, the military has the kind of technology that could solve this issue, and that probably wouldn't be too hard to do if you just ordered the Engineers Corps to go ahead and just refit everything.
The stuff they're using was from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, surely they could come up with even better things right now. And the military doesn't need to be involved at all.
Well, I was just thinking for an available group of people that could get the job done and could be coordinated, you know, your Army Corps of Engineers could get it done, couldn't they?
Surely. I don't know about that.
Okay, I don't know. Hey, look. I don't claim to say that that's the solution. It was just the first thought I had, considering, you know, if the military has access to stuff that could do that, why is it we're not employing it as a redundancy or a backup even to a grid which is much older than even from the 1960s in a lot of places in this country? I mean, it's ancient what we're working with still and what these things are built off of. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me trying to think, you know, why wouldn't you have backups and solutions? But, Crazy me, right?
Well, I've also been in warehouses that look like the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where they had these gigantic warehouses just stacked with equipment that will not be touched to World War III.
Hmm.
But one of these things had all brand new Jeeps. Hmm. Brand new 50-year-old Jeeps that had 0 miles on them in live storage, ready to go.
Hmm.
And we don't even use Jeeps anymore.
Right.
Haven't a long time. And yet we still got them stacked up.
I remember the days of the old Gamma Goats.
Hmm.
That was a unique vehicle. It had a articulating body. The front had two seats, two wheels, and then the body had a joint in the middle of it, and it had a trailer with two wheels. Pretty neat little vehicle.
Hmm. I think I saw a photograph of that once. I didn't remember what the name of it was, but yeah, it kind of bends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting looking thing. I remember also reading some years ago, you know, people talk about Fort Knox and is there gold in it and all this other stuff. And then they talked about the other storage that's there, regarding a whole bunch of resources and, things that are just kind of warehoused. And, you know, and I remember reading this article that was kind of giving this generalized inventory of things that were there, including drugs that were in storage and, various things, you know, like what would happen if we did go into a serious conventional situation where there was just mass destruction across the planet, you know, would we have the resources to sustain, anything? And it noted in there that, you know, look, Fort Knox is one of the more famous facilities, but there are many of these places that exist with, you know, tons of resources. And even like Jimmy James said, machines that are just sitting in storage waiting to be broken out. In the case that, you know, other technologies, other systems fail, some of these things might be seen as antiquated. You know, like he said, we don't even use Jeeps anymore, but they've got Jeeps ready to roll if need be. Probably, you know, with enough, spare parts and everything else to run them. Probably, you know, fuel in storage in a special way so it doesn't go bad. Cause gasoline can only remain in regular storage for a certain amount of time before it starts to go bad.
We had that gas.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Kerosene, the gas. Well, you could take MoGas, take your Zippo lighter, take MoGas and an eyedropper or a hypodermic. Well, you know, I was in aid station as a medic, so we had plenty of
syringes. Mm-hmm. You'd suck MoGas out of the can and you can put it in your Zippo lighter. It worked just as good as lighter fluid.
Well, there you go. You know, so
I mean, don't worry, Chuck. We have a strong strategic oil reserve that's filled to the brim. So should tragedy hit, we're safe. Oh, wait, I forgot. Joe Biden's emptying at the lower gas prices. Never mind.
Well, now. Do we actually know what he's emptied? And, you know, do we actually know what the strategic oil reserve... I've always wondered this about the strategic oil reserve because it's come up various times over the past few decades where it's like, we'll release some of it because we got a production issue. When pipelines have gone down, when we had, you know, problems with shipping and all kinds of stuff has gone on, they say, well, if they just release some of this into the market, it'll help. I always find it interesting because I would think someone who is intelligently, managing a strategic oil reserve would never allow anybody to actually have the information about how much there actually is. So that they could never make a calculation as to what our backup resource is. I mean, maybe that's a crazy way of thinking, but I would never allow somebody to know even remotely what the volume of that strategic oil reserve is, even potentially. Maybe
you were the supervisor of one of them places.
Well, no, not if I was the supervisor of one place. I'm saying if I was generally in control of that as an aspect of a resource for military use or for whatever use, I would make it impossible for anybody to actually figure out how much we had. That would be a priority to me, is to keep that absolutely secret. So I don't know if we actually know what is in the strategic oil reserve. You know what I mean? Because it just seems to me idiocy to, if we did know that. I would never want to allow any enemy force to have that sort of intelligence if I could help it. Maybe again, I'm just wrong-headed about these things, but that would be the way I would view it. So I don't know if it's empty. I don't know if it's full. I don't know if it's, you know, a joke that he says, you know, this many millions of barrels and that's really a drop in the bucket. I don't know, to be honest. What are your thoughts on that, though?
I don't have the numbers on it, but he shouldn't be fooling with it.
Well, I would think every once in a while, some of that storage probably needs to be rotated anyway. Right? Because you can't store it forever.
It's my understanding that a lot of it isn't even really out of the ground. It's like, we know we have this much amount for sure that we can get out at this place quickly, say for instance. So they might count that as, oh, we got that in reserves.
Huh. Well, I guess that's a possibility. Like, people have told me over the years that I really have no clue about how much oil is actually potentially in the ground in Pennsylvania. Because it's not being drawn upon by the commercial, you know, there's been an agreement for commercial oil not to really exhaust it.
Right at the end of the Trump administration, they found a gas deposit under North New England that could power all of the country for 200 years. We're not hurting for petroleum and gas in this country. Or we are, but not for good reason.
We shouldn't be. Yeah. Fair enough. Anyway, B. Pete, any thoughts on this?
Well, I got a question that goes all the way back to the origin. You know, everybody's complaining about the use of fossil fuels. Well, was this earth covered by so many dinosaurs that we're now pumping the remains out and have been pumping the remains out and we'll keep on pumping the remains out? I mean, I would think there wouldn't be enough.
I want to just real quick, this whole fossil fuel thing is a myth, is perpetrated and promulgated in the 40s by that idiotic gas company that used to use the stupid dinosaur as their logo. Okay, we dig up gas all the time, along with fossils, below, above. Petroleum oil is made by an enzyme found in the ocean. It is not, there's pools of oil in the earth. Oil is the second most abundant liquid on earth next to water. Thank you.
Yeah, I always found the peak oil thing to be really silly. You know, I don't think it does us any good. I think it does damage to the environment, but, you know, again, a lot of people would disagree. However, internal documentation and stuff, you know, with a lot of the oil companies, they seem to know that it's not necessarily the cleanest thing to do. But is it,
it may not be the cleanest thing to do, but I mean, what other alternative do we have? We don't.
Well, I find it a lot less dangerous. Yeah. Like, well, for instance, I find it a lot less dangerous and haphazard than this idiocy with nuclear power, which some people think is a clean energy. I think it's absolutely stupid to do what we do with the nuclear plants. I really do.
Well, the nuclear plants have come a long way, but you know, the big thing now is they want to do away with coal plants, but they don't want Duke Energy to build any new natural gas plants. Huh. Natural gas is one of the cleanest burning fuels that we know of. You know, why not take advantage of it? But, I mean, that's one thing this administration has done. I mean, they've just put a shutdown on everything. Mm. Well, until you come up with an alternative, and this is where they're painting themselves into a corner. You know, the Germany tried this green energy deal, and they found out it was too expensive. It didn't stand up to use. It fell apart, nothing but problems, and it was more expensive to fix than building new. So they've backed off on a lot of it. The UK has found the same thing. Mm-hmm. They were going to put a wind farm up at Martha's Vineyard, and now all of a sudden there's actual studies saying that these wind farms and the oceans are doing nothing but just harming the environment and the natural habitat that lives in these areas. So I mean, what the hell are they going to do? That's what gets me about people today. You know, we can't do this. It's so harmful to our world. We have to do this. Well, okay, come up with an alternative that is economically feasible for the average person to be able to make it through life. Mm-hmm. You know, little electric cars that only go 200 miles on a charge is a way to control movement by mm-hmm. the government. Plain mm-hmm. and simple. They can shut down the grid. You can't charge your car. Where are you going to go? You can make gasohol. You can make ethanol mm-hmm. in your garage. So, you know, until they can come up with an alternative, this preaching this green relief to the world's problems is just, it's all crap. And you call them on it. What good does it do? We've got an administration that's leading this. We're right to the cliff, and we're going to go right off with the rest of the lemmings and find out. We've invested in all this technology that doesn't work and can't handle the load. What the hell are we going to do?
Well, see, eventually, I have a hope that eventually there will be an advance in the technology with solar. You know, and if that is the case and repurposing existing energies, for instance, you can use the energy which is expended by vehicles to create energy.
Well, true, but with solar up to this point right now is being able to store that power.
That's
and the only
trouble,
way
yeah.
we can do that is using battery technology.
Right.
We can put a man on the moon, but we can't make a damn battery worth a flip.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, it's amazing what we can do, but it's amazing those little things that kill us. You talk about building batteries for Tesla and these other car companies. Toyota has just built a plant here to build batteries and that for their vehicles. Well, where are you getting all the ingredients for it? You're mining it out of the earth, and there's only a limited supply of those minerals.
Right.
So, you know, is that why we're exploiting African nations right now so we can get their magnesium and everything else that we need to put these batteries together? We need to come up with a different system and not rely on a damn battery so much.
Well, there's got to be another way to create a power cell, not necessarily a battery, but a power cell. It's going to require innovation, and it's just not there yet. you know.
But you've got to create the path itself, but you've got to be able to have the stuff.
Yeah, Jimmy James, what were you saying?
Well, why do we have to? Why do you people keep saying this? What's the problem with the combustible engine? It seems to have worked pretty well for the last century and a half. Why do we gotta?
Well, the...
We pump a lot of crap into the air.
Look, there's a lot of leverage that's removed from a lot of these dominant corporate entities which have exploited various places for their resources that would be out of their hands if all you had to do was have the technology to throw up in the air and source from the sun, which we all have access to, right? That would be a paradigm shift that would be of value across the board. I'm not saying that the combustible engine and all that is so horrible. It's just a matter of, if you were able to do that, that would change things. You wouldn't have the domination from these energy companies.
If anyone could have done that in the last century, don't you think they would have done that?
Well, there are alternatives to gasoline right now and diesel, but the problem is it's not practical to implement natural gas in vehicles. It's just, you know, well, I'll give you an example. Appalachian State University, they have a landfill on some of their property. They take the methane that comes off that landfill, and that's what they use to power the bus system on the campus and around town. It's a great way of doing it. To be able to do that practically for everybody's car, at the moment, it's too expensive. It's too cumbersome. They don't have the infrastructure set up to be able to do the fueling like you would with gas cars. And I agree with you, Jimmy. The internal combustion engine was one of the greatest inventions ever made. I mean, look at what it's done from before the industrial age till now, and look at what we've been able to accomplish. And so,
yes, created modern society, more or less.
It has, and it's given individuals the opportunity to go anywhere. So,
right up to.
But there are ways to do it cleaner, and that's what we need to concentrate on, is clean what we've got until you come up with the alternative. Don't stop looking for the alternative. I mean, it would be nice if we had an automobile that could capture sunlight or that energy that's put out by the sun, even on a cloudy day, and convert it to a propellant to get it down the road. I mean, that would be great. But until we come up with that, we should work on being able to clean up the technologies that we have today for the internal combustion engine. I mean, it's amazing what we do now with engines. I'm driving a work truck that would have a 450 or something bigger in it engine-wise. It's got a little 2.7-liter engine in the thing with a turbocharger. And I'm getting great gas mileage. I've got the horsepower I need to get down the road. But, no, I wouldn't take on trying to pull a bulldozer with it. But that technology has gotten us to be able to have smaller engines, produce more power, and make it affordable in a practical work environment.
Mm-hmm.
We need to increase on that technology until we come up with that alternative.
Yeah, and I mean, the New Jersey Transit bus system had the gas, I think it's natural gas powered buses, in the 90s even. Not the whole fleet, but a significant portion of it. And it was efficient for that purpose, but not enough so that you could offer it to on the retail market for the individual, for the smaller vehicle. Well, it wasn't going to work, you know?
Here did it with state vehicles at one time. DOT is the largest department in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the largest? Maybe not anymore since they cut some. But anyway, they converted vehicles to run on natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the state, they put certain terminals in to be able to provide the natural gas. I had a truck that would run on either natural gas or gasoline. They found out at the time, because of the technology that was there at the time, it just wasn't practical and it wasn't economical to be able to install natural gas in 100 counties wide for state vehicles.
Right.
So, but I mean, they did make the attempt. They wanted to see what came from that. And they've been working on that to better to better design the vehicles for that purpose and better ways to capture natural gas, methane, like, you know, just like it in Boone. They've right. got a local landfill that's now powering their local bus system. So it's a good trade-off.
Well, see, with a bus system, it makes more sense, though, because you have a set route. You have, right. you know, a predictable path for vehicles. So that means you only have to, you know, you don't have to put stations for refueling in a whole variety of places. You can very strategically place them, and therefore right. the investment's lower. That's why it makes more sense for a mass transit. But when you have variables in there where it's like, well, maybe sometimes you got to go all the way to the western part of the state. Maybe sometimes you got to go to the eastern part of the state and, you know, in various places in between, you wind up having to create more stations for refueling in different places as it emerges, which is
not that, but your gas network, being able to get it to every convenience store on the corner so you can pull in and fuel up with a natural gas vehicle. You know, that's not. Until those retailers see that it's economically feasible and profitable, that's the big thing. Is it profitable? Not is it feasible, but is it profitable?
Right.
Then you see more of these places changing, but it's not profitable right now.
Right.
Because they haven't got the technology. It's just like these electric vehicles. It's not profitable.
Right. No, exactly.
And they're not wanting.
No, but like I was saying, when you're looking at a mass transit system, though, it makes more sense that it becomes adaptable into that. Yeah. Again, though, as you said, the more they learn and the more they pick up on these things and figure out, there's just more efficient ways to do things. And I think there's no reason to not be more efficient with whatever resources are available. And if there is a way to harness, as I said, I'd love to see solar power be the thing. But I also looked at, you know, what it actually, what the damage is in creating like the panels the way it is now, right? There's a lot of environmental damage to creating solar panels that nobody takes into account. Oh, it's great for the environment. Yeah, but actually creating those things, and it winds up creating more of a problem with the stuff that, you know, once these things break down or whatever, where do you put them? You know, can you recycle them, et cetera? I mean, it's a mess.
These damn wind turbines that they want to stick everywhere. And it's funny. When I got back from Switzerland, I was home a couple of weeks and I took a road trip to South Dakota up to see Mount Rushmore, see a person I knew up there and visit for a while. So I get a rental car and I go. When I come back, I come through Iowa. Now my dad was from Iowa and we used to go up there when I was young and visit my grandfather and grandmother and my uncles and all that. And it's rolling farmland. Well, I'm cutting across to Iowa. This is 2010. These wind turbines from one end of the state to the other. Most obnoxious thing when you're driving down a road to have that constant turning of a blade in your peripheral vision. But they're trying them out. Well, they found out, okay, those things, they start leaking oil, make a huge mess. And we're talking some really nasty, funky stuff in the oil to cool these things. Then you start having problems. You got to replace the turbine or the blades. Big, huge. I don't know how long are these blades. What, 100 feet? I don't know how long they are, but maybe not 100 feet, maybe 50 feet. But you got to get rid of them. They're made out of fiberglass. You can't recycle the things. They're burying them in landfills just to get rid of them. I mean, how economical is it, the damage done by these things? They blow up, the number of wildlife that they kill. You know, bald eagle was something that was illegal to shoot at one time, so that we could bring them back from the edge of extinction. Right. And these things are killing birds of prey left and right. Mm-hmm. Well, suddenly it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, hypocrite much there, people?
Yeah, there's that too. So anyway, as we get down toward the end of this time period, because it looks like we got about, actually we got about 30 minutes left. I thought it was a little deeper in the show than that. But still open lines, by the way, 319-527-5016, if you want to call in. 319-527-5016. You know, it's an interesting debate about all this stuff, and I think we should always look forward to trying to make more efficient use of stuff. And like I said, the resource of the sun, the fact that we're not figuring out how to harness that, you know, and I think that would be good, not just for vehicles. I think it would be good if we could, you know, take some of the stranglehold off of Well, everybody, when it comes to these power companies and being able to power your home and all together, right? I don't know.
We need to come to some kind of vehicle powered by sound energy, where it takes this ambient sound around it, takes that energy wave and converts it into propulsion of some manner. You know, you want your car, I got to get to the store. Okay, well, hey, you're just going to have to talk the whole time. Cut the radio on, propel your car down the road off the sound waves. Something simple.
Phase Shifter was talking about the killing of migratory birds.
Things, you know, they talk about these wind turbines. They really do a lot of damage to the ecosystem. And it just kills me the way they want to glom on to these things. Oh, well, this is going to save us. Well, no, it's not. I mean, be practical about it. They're not taking a practical approach to things. They're going out on these extremes. We need to go solar. We need to go wind. Okay, what do you do when it's raining and the wind ain't blowing? You got to have battery backup. Well, we don't have that.
And what do you do at night?
Well, if the wind's blowing, your wind turbines will happen. You know, take care of it for you.
You got the wind turbines and the solar crap?
Yeah, you got to put them together. How much
money's all that junk going to cost?
You can't rely on...
Coal plants work fine, and they're so clean these days.
Well, the problem is what you're doing to get the coal. I mean, why go through a bunch of coal when you can convert something to natural gas and it burn a lot cleaner? You're not tearing the mountainsides down in West Virginia. I mean, West Virginia is going to be one big waste area if we just keep going. I know there's a lot of coal out there, but if natural gas and the supplies of natural gas that we have, why are we messing with coal? It's a much cleaner energy for that purpose.
Yeah, and that one stuff, it's underground, we call it.
Well, I'll give you an example. Duke Power was going to build a power plant that had to cross the Appalachian Mountains with their transmission lines. And the state Department of Environmental Natural Resources was holding up the permits because they were going to have to, I think they were going to have to do two bores at certain sites. The rest of it would have been overhead. So they held up the permits for years. Well, Duke finally said, okay, I tell you what, we're just going to change plans. We're not going to build one plant and run lines. We're going to build two plants and we're just going to power it with natural gas. That way we're not running transmission lines from the western part of North Carolina down in South Carolina. We'll just build two separate plants. We'll feed it off of natural gas. We need a source for our fuel. So what do? They go buy Piedmont Natural Gas, which ironically was a subdivision of their own company 40 years ago that they sold off because they didn't see a profit in natural gas. So now they end up buying their own company back. So they've got a fuel source and people are even complaining about that. They're using the cleanest fuel source out there, and people still have a problem with it. I don't get it.
It's banned in New York City. No new construction in New York City can have natural gas as heat. Figure that one out. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Well, we're at the mercy of the companies until they can come up with a profitable way to throw it on the public. And the government gets their cut, we're not going to see much change.
Pretty much.
That's the key. The government's got to get their cut.
And the other key, like you said, it's got to be highly profitable because that's, you know, I can show you the basic layout when it comes to gasoline and retailing it. And it makes sense to retail gasoline. You have to be able to make that formula work with any other fuel the same way. And that requires different facilities. You know, you can't put natural gas in the same tanks that you put gasoline.
Just out of curiosity, what is gas now where you're at? We're under $3. We're at, I think I got gas the other day. It was like $2.91.
We're about there. But it depends on where you are. It's kind of weird. Cause I think they lifted that, they had a little ban on the state tax here for a bit. And, I think they went back to that cause it looks to me like they reinstituted it. quietly, of course, and it just seems to me like it wasn't an issue during the during the campaigns here. That wasn't the problem.
What's the price up there in the Great White North?
$360
Ooh.
Yeah, see
what's
that?
Diesel, you know?
Close to $5 last I noticed.
Yeah, we're between $5 and $6
That's frightening.
That is scary.
That's frightening because my understanding from when I was in that business is that diesel's cheaper to produce, guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's way cheaper to produce.
Well, it used to be. See, the thing was is that diesel used to be the byproduct. It used to be the crap left over from producing clean gas from dirty. But now the process has become so refined that there is no byproduct. So they have to purposely make diesel, which costs much more money.
Yeah, but even when they were doing that, it was still cheaper to make diesel than it was to refine, you know, oil to gas. Still.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you got to crack it, another two times from diesel to get it down to gasoline.
Yeah, so I mean, it was still a lesser process, so it wasn't as big a deal. And that was even before you got into, you know, okay, now we have these different regulations, and then they found out that these different additives were no good, and, you know.
Well, that's what South Dakota. When I was there at Mount Rushmore at the time, their mid-grade was cheaper than regular. And I asked the guy, I said, you know, you're the only state I've seen where your mid-grade is lower than your 87 octane. He says, well, here the state is subsidizing the ethanol in the mid-grade, so that's why they're pushing it. He says, you want regular gas? Just get the regular. He says, you want crappy ethanol? Get the mid-grade. You'll pay less, but, you know, and that's another mandate by the government. They get in there and mandate this damn ethanol and these boutique blends for certain states and certain times of the year. It adds to the cost, but the problem is it destroys your car engines. Any kind of internal, from lawnmowers up to cars. This ethanol produces less horsepower than gasoline. Mm-hmm. It actually takes more oil to produce it because of growing the corn and processing it and the oil involved in that. And you end up burning your engine up and ruining every rubber gasket in the thing after about a year and a half. It's gotten so bad now they've told people around here, if you're running lawnmowers, chainsaws, things like that, do not buy regular gasoline. Mm-hmm. Buy the high test. Because it's got less ethanol in it. Your engine's going to last longer. Worst thing they could ever do to these engines was come up with ethanol.
Oh, yeah. No, when they started doing that in, I think it was 2004 when they put that new mandate in, it was like literally eating holes in tanks. I mean, it was corrosive. The ethanol on your retail, auto, gasoline. It was horrible. Some people tried to save money by going and, you know, filling up their boats at gas stations, and they learned the hard way. Do that a few times, and suddenly you have a hole in your tank.
Yeah. It'll burn out every rubber seal that was in an engine in a matter of years. It'd completely ruin them.
Oh, yeah.
I put regular gas in my lawnmower, weed eaters, and all that. I do not put. I'll go down and get non-ethanol regular gas. We've got two or three places that sells it around Kinston. Or if you really want, you know, like when we were riding dirt bikes and that, we would just go get 100 octane aviation fuel and put in them. Burn much better.
Mm.
Much better performance.
Well, one of the retail stations, I can't remember which one, but it was like a retail, I saw them with a higher level of octane than, you know, it was way above 93. I forget what it was, retail outlet it was in North Carolina, but I was surprised that more people didn't use it because it was like a way higher octane, cleaner fuel, and it was like only this one company had it.
It's hard to find. More places have started carrying it. There's, well, I take that back. There's probably four or five places around here. Now you have to drive to find them. They're stretched out, but they actually have non non-ethanol regular gasoline.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting times for sure.
It is.
But anyway, you know, and the squeeze on, of course, we got the manufacturing number we talked about earlier real quick, but I mean, those numbers are always lagging behind the reality anyway. Whenever the government says, here's our latest, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, we already know people are unemployed. We, you know, you figured that out in the past month. We've known that for a year. Thanks. You know what I mean? It's interesting to me that, we're looking at the manufacturer cost. And, it seems to me like the mainstream is laid off, but I'm seeing massive price increases at the supermarket still. Nothing is going down. Okay. Nothing is going down. I mean, do you eat eggs, Meat Pete, at all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are you paying for a dozen eggs?
Now it's been a while since I bought some because we have a girl that I work with that has chickens and she brings fresh eggs into work.
Oh, nice.
let's see. Three something, 325 maybe a dozen.
Mm. I've seen them as high as $3.99 here. And I mean, we're not even talking for the good stuff, which is wild because it's literally approaching a very serious precipice where, frankly, a handful of chickens in your backyard, you're going to do a lot better if you regularly eat eggs. I mean, if you need to buy a couple of dozen a month, you're better off with your own chickens.
I'm at the Food Lion website, and they're, let's see, fresh white, large, 12 count, $3.99.
Okay. So they're the same price as here.
Yeah. 18 count carton is $5.79.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going with the dozen price, and again, you know, you're medium white. Obviously, if you go for other things like the cage free or forget it. I mean, it's astronomical at this point. But those were always expensive. You know, what happened to the, you know, less than $2 eggs? Well, that's gone. I don't see that factoring into the price. I've noticed that even the staple stuff like rice and all that is also going up. So I'm imagining that, you know, part of it is based on the fuel cost, you know, to the farmer, whatever it is. I mean, majorly, the idea of the family farm, I don't know if it's a myth anymore, but it doesn't seem to be the predominant thing out there that's driving this. However, we do have a situation where the food prices are still going up. I know everybody's feeling it, but, you know, again, it was very strange to me to see in these midterm elections that there wasn't more of a penalty to the alleged party that's at the helm, right?
Well, you know, you look at the farmers today, and I've got a guy I've known since high school. In fact, his mom was my sixth grade teacher, and he farms. He's raised poultry. He's, you know, he's pretty much done it all. I believe now he's producing hemp since that was legalized in the state. We don't have marijuana yet, but we can produce hemp.
Okay.
But talking with him and the way industries are affected, you know, we're at a point right now that because of certain policies that have been put out the past few years, farmers are really getting hammered with costs. Fuel costs are up. Fertilizer costs are up. There's shortages. The markets aren't there. I'll give you an example. This state, the environmental department decided that milk from a dairy farm is a contaminant. Mm-hmm. So all of these dairy farms now have to come up with a contaminant containment plan. If they have a milk spill on their property, they have to be able to come up with a plan to isolate it.
Oh no.
Remove it and treat it for milk.
So wait a minute. What you're telling me is that they're treating milk very much like the EPA treats gasoline.
Yeah.
Cause again, I had to know these specific protocols, and there is heavy fines, by the way. If you don't have this stuff in place and you're subject to inspection, I mean, seriously, $10,000 a day to a facility, for gasoline. And you're echoing exactly what I know about how you have to manage, control, and be prepared to control any sort of a spillage of fuel.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. And by the way, they bring it down to like 1 gallon, where they tell you if you spill a gallon, yeah, go ahead.
We for years had open lagoons. Now, we have a huge hog industry and poultry industry in this state. We're one of the largest pork producers in the United States. And the farmers are not going to go out there and do what is detrimental to their property that's going to cut into their ability to make a profit. It's the only way they stay alive. So, yes, you do have some practices that are not the best in the world. These are practices that they use for years and years and years. We used to have on these hog farms open lagoons where all the waste was pumped and it would aerate out. And then it would eventually leach into the fields in the ground. And they would take this stuff and they would pump it as fertilizer on fields. They had regulations where it had to be immediately tilled in. So it just wasn't sitting there on the surface and a rain come along and wash it off into a creek.
Right.
Well, they wanted to get rid of these open lagoons because they were a detriment to the environment. We'd get a hurricane come through. These things would overflow. Now you've got hog waste running everywhere. Okay. Well, if we're going to let the hog industry, I mean, you look at some of these farms and the number of heads of pigs produced, it's almost like a municipality in the amount of waste that's generated. We have the ability to put in individual treatment systems on these farms. Why is the USDA and other government agencies not out there helping to not direct people, but point them in the right direction to these technologies so that these hog farms can operate and we treat the waste that comes off of those just like the waste that comes out of our houses, where it's made economically viable and we could protect so much if we would do it. But no, they'd rather have people spend their money doing these ridiculous processes and coming up with milk containment plans and jacking up the cost on these guys to be able to operate a farm. It's unbelievable. Now, you weigh the local farmer against industrial farming, and it's a whole nother world. You know, I did not realize it when I moved to this state. John Hancock Insurance Company is one of the largest farm owners in the eastern part of the state.
Yeah.
They have bought hundreds of acres of land. They're industrial farmers now. Yeah. Those are the guys that you worry about. You know, the big conglomerates that can afford the fines and just operate willy-nilly and do whatever the hell they want. Oh, well, it's better to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. So we'll do this and we'll just pay the fine.
Yeah.
But we'll keep on going. You know, that's what we've come to in this state. It's a shame to see the local farmer now being squeezed out of the market.
Oh, that's the thing is, you know, I mentioned the $10,000 a day fine. If you can absorb that because, you can accept that as a cost of doing business when you get caught, then you do.
Yeah.
That's what
you
do.
Pay the ongoing. So you get hit with the next one.
Right. We have another caller, so I'm going to take that. And Jimmy James is still on the line, and anybody else can join in. I wasn't looking at the phone lines for a couple of minutes there, so he's been on hold for a few. And we got, we're going to go a little past the hour tonight, but not much. So let's see. I guess you got your voice back, Chris, a little bit.
Yeah, it comes and goes. Depends on the day. It's the oddest thing.
Well, you sound pretty strong right now. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing better. I was just going to mention that. I was going to mention a solution. I don't know if BP is going to roll his eyes or not, but what are we doing with this whole DARPA program? I mean, do they really serve a purpose? I feel like all this clandestine stuff and no budget stuff, you know, black budget type stuff should be, going towards maybe our infrastructure and not these, shadowy, mysterious programs or whatever that we're not even privy to. Any thoughts on that, guys?
Well, the only way you're going to be able to cause that to happen is start throwing light on the dark subjects. I mean, we have a government that is totally out of control, doing what it wants, when it wants, to whoever it wants, with no fear of being pulled reined in by anybody. Mm-hmm. Until we can rein in our government agencies and departments, no, there's nothing we can do. It's a monster that feeds itself.
See, and I would say that, yeah, you know, until we can take some charge of the on-the-surface bureaucracies, which are out of control, there is absolutely no hope of getting a handle on the covert and things like DARPA. DARPA needs to exist, by the way. I know that that might not be the most popular opinion among people that consider themselves to be, you know, in the same circles as me sometimes, but it needs to exist. Does it need to do all the things it does? Maybe not. Does there need to be oversight? Yes. But does that need to be in public domain? No. You know, and.
No, but I mean, couldn't some of whatever they're developing, you know, go towards the common good, especially with, you know, if you can use a rifle to take out a, you know, a section of an area for Americans, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, listen, I'm all for shutting down some of these military bases in unnecessary places and repurposing that expenditure on other things that would actually benefit, you know, the whole of the country. I'm all for that. But you know,
I will agree with you that our budget for the military is high and a lot of it is wasteful and could be used in a better purpose, but there is so much more out there besides the defense budget that could be taken and put towards useful purpose that would allow us to spend what we need on our defense and not worry about it taken away from other things.
Like,
because we're not paying for groups $500,000 to study the mating habits of lesbian pan shrimp.
I would like to know that, though.
All right, fine. Well, but you know what? go fund it yourself. I'll tell you something, man. Look, I agree with you there, BP, but I got to say something here. Look, there is literally no corridor of government action where you could probably not find a way to make it more efficient and get rid of a whole ton of waste. I honestly believe, as much as people think this is crazy, because, you know, they say, oh, well, you know, we couldn't possibly do, like, say, a national healthcare kind of situation or what. I think it could be doable if we made a whole bunch of things, I don't know, more efficient.
We eliminated
a bunch of redundancies.
We would have to take on big pharma, big medicine, big insurance. We'd have to take them all on to be able to get it to something workable. Yeah, I agree with you.
See, but insurance, you know what's funny is I hate the insurance companies, but they're only like, $15 billion worth of the problem. I know that sounds, it's only $15 billion. That's nothing compared to what our medical bill is in general in this country, right? It's not that big a deal. The insurance companies suck because they are the go-between. And they are, you know, probably a $15 billion waste half of the time. But they're not the biggest problem. I got to tell you, it's the pharmaceutical companies. And I hate to do this, but I got to agree with some of the GOP, thinkers who have gone over this and said, you know, the reason why the socialized medicine is able to exist in some other countries is because they allow innovation to be paid for by the overpricing of the American public. And that is why it's profitable for Big Pharma to develop crap. And then the Europeans, you know what? They'll get it eventually anyway. They don't have to chip in on it because we're paying for it.
They get it on the cheap because we've paid for it.
Right. I can't argue against it. And as much as I want to, I can't. The numbers are there. It's real simple. That's why it's also improper to a lot of people say, oh, it's all the insurance companies. They are a major problem, true, but they are not the majority of the problem. The problem is exactly that part of the equation. And that's why it's not a simple answer. Okay, what do you do? If we cut off the big pharma companies completely, it would be quite a paradigm shift, but it's not really a feasible thing to do. So here's the deal. There's got to be a way to tamp that down and simultaneously eliminate a whole bunch of waste. I think that, yeah, of course, the military expenditure, I think there's a lot of argument there to cut things and to make them more efficient. Okay. There just is. And it's not about cutting down personnel or taking away a damn thing from a veteran. I mean, there is a bunch of wasteful crap in there that is not benefiting any of the people in uniform, that is not really helping us to defend ourselves, that is just sitting there. Because it's the pet project of this one, that one, the third one, and they're benefiting from it somehow or other, and these are the things that need to be eliminated there. But again, it's not a simple issue. And to say, okay, well, what do we do with the dark money and DARPA and all this? Look, I wish I could say that, look, if you just cut that in half, we'll have a lot more money. But I don't even know how much is sunk into it. Nobody does. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm like you.
No, I kind of brought it up as I was kind of half kidding, but I mean in terms of not even their budget, but the different technologies that they have developed that might be able to maybe replace some of these antiquated power structures that are failing us now. That's more where I was going with that.
But yeah, that's,
I would love to see the federal government get into funding research and development, you know, working with someone like an Elon Musk, who's got, you know, his own car company, and he's trying to develop battery technology to the point that you can afford it, not spend $80,000 on a car, you know, help fund these initiatives to develop these things. I mean, it's amazing the talents that we have out there. People that are in school now, people that have graduated, people that are tinkering in their garage. You know, the next Microsoft, the next Apple, these things are coming along. We as a society, as a government, should be promoting the development of these things instead of pissing our money away and pissing off the taxpayer who's tired of seeing their money being pissed away, you know, time and time again. It's, if you sit down and listen to the average person, they want things that are affordable. They want to be able to have the opportunity to build a home and a family, have enjoyable work, have profitable work. You got a lot of guys out there that are like artists that have 1,000 ideas and with the right group of people could develop the next electric car, you know, the next combustion engine that burns clean, 100% clean. But we're not doing anything as a gut. To me, that's your purpose of your government. Is to help stimulate those things that are going to help, you know, the public. But that's not where our emphasis is.
No, wait a minute. Now, you guys like that Ike Eisenhower farewell address. Now, Chuck, what's the second thing he says in the speech of the issues? I'll name two. And as you guys like to point out, he pointed out the military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. What was the very next thing he pointed out, Chuck?
Well, you're putting me on the spot here. I mean, look, there's a lot of ways to look at that speech and to interpret it.
See, that's the thing. You guys don't know because it's
the overreaching government.
It's only a 15-minute speech. When everyone's got time, rewatch that speech from beginning to end and put it in modern context, please.
Yeah, of course. No, look, but Eisenhower's position at that time, coming from a time when, you know, through the GI Bill and a whole bunch of things that benefited people returning, okay, from World War II, that's a different context, man. That's an entirely different context. Well,
that has nothing to do with it. All I'm saying is listen to what he said was the two biggest issues that he's seen facing country, two big issues that face society and our very souls, as he put it. One was the congressional military industrial complex, and the second thing was an entirely different kind of complex. This is your homework, everyone.
There we go. Jimmy James giving us
everyone
homework.
Watch everyone watch the old man's video. Eisenhower.
You know what? That's a good idea. I'll see if it's still up on YouTube. I used to have a copy of it, but I don't have a channel anymore. So, gonna tell you what, we're gonna close this one out. Because it's about that time, everybody. So, that's the end of the week that was here on Ocelli.com. I hope that Chris will be able to do a show on Sunday. I hope Aaron gets me his damn show notes before this Sunday. But, anyway. And I'm going to publish the podcast from earlier this week. Again, Don Jeffries, J.G. Michael, Mike Swanson, and Larry Hancock. And we gave you guys updates on a bunch of things. Want to thank my co-hosts, BP, callers, Jimmy James, and Chris Graves, and you for listening. Because after all, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.